good evening. If you would open your Bibles with me to Psalm 136. Psalm 136. Let me make a couple of announcements. Jessica Clark had surgery today. They were going to take out the part of her liver that did not, or that did contain the tumors that she had. We think she got surgery. Now, the surgery took over 9 hours. The results are, reports what we're hearing are positive. She's still going to have a long way to go. She'll have more treatments and, recovering from that long of a surgery. So we want to keep her in our prayers. Sandy just told me Charles Pennington had a stent put in today, but is feeling pretty good. And, Gary and Janie Holback are back home from College Grove, sleeping in their own bed, for which I know they are extremely grateful. Eric saw them today. He said Gary looked remarkably well, and he's still got a long way to go, too, but I know they're glad to be home, so give thanks for that. All right, Psalm 136. I get excited every time I read this psalm. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks to the Lord of lords, for his mercy endureth forever. To him who alone doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy endureth forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy endureth forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for his mercy endureth forever. And brought out Israel from among them, for his mercy endureth forever. With a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for his mercy endureth forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for his mercy endureth forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which led his people through the wilderness, for his mercy endureth forever. To him which smote great kings, for his mercy endureth forever. And slew famous kings, for his mercy endureth forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for his mercy endureth forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for his mercy endureth forever. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy endureth forever. Even an heritage unto Israel his servant, for his mercy endureth forever. Who remembered us in our low estate, for his mercy endureth forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies, for his mercy endureth forever. Who giveth food to all flesh, for his mercy endureth forever. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven, for his mercy endureth forever. Thank God his mercy endureth forever. Let's bow together. Our Father, oh, how we thank you for this, your word that we've just read. How we thank you that your mercy endureth forever. How thankful we are that you've given this in your word to us as a stark reminder that your mercy forever, your eternal mercy to your people found in our Lord Jesus Christ is eternal, without beginning and without ending. And it's this mercy, this kind of mercy from this eternal God that lets sinners like we are find rest and hope and joy and peace forgiveness of our sin because your mercy forever that's found in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, how we thank you. And Father, I pray that this evening that you'd bless us as we look into your word. Engrave this upon our heart. Give us the heart to believe and to be thrilled with and to rest in the fact that your mercy is forever. Father, enable me to preach your gospel this evening in the power of your Spirit. Enable me to preach it plainly, simply, with a heart of compassion for your people and for your glory, Father. Cause your word to run well. Give your people a believing heart. Cause us to be thrilled with one more sight of our Lord Jesus Christ and salvation that's found in him. Cause us to leave here rejoicing in Christ our Savior. Father, we thank you for your many blessings, how you've blessed us. And we pray you'd forgive us for the times we murmur and complain after all you've given us. Father, forgive us. We thank you for this congregation and the blessing that you've had to us over all these many years. And Father, we pray that you'd not take your hand from us now, but that you would continue to call out your sheep, feed and comfort and edify your sheep by the preaching of your word. And Father, for those that we've mentioned that are going through such difficult times, for Jesse and this difficult surgery and horrible disease, and Father, we pray that you'd give her a recovery, that you'd strengthen her, that you'd be with the doctors and nurses that treat her and give them wisdom and compassion in dealing with her. Use them as an instrument to heal her body, we pray. Be with her family at this time, Father. Comfort their hearts with your presence. Pray for Charlie and others, Father, who are in deep waters. Be with them. Thank you for the good report we've had on Gary, and pray you continue to heal and bless them. Father, again, bless us as we look into your word. Give us a time in this hour we might forget about all the goings on of this life and be fed richly from your word. For it's in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, for his glory and for his sake, we pray and give thanks. Amen.
Rose. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final bread, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand till he returns or calls me home. Here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
That was outstanding, Brady. Thank you. That whole gospel's there, isn't it, that song? That's outstanding. All right, open your Bibles with me again, if you would, to Psalm 136. Titled the message this evening, God's Eternal Mercy. Now, if I had to choose, I don't know if you should have a favorite psalm, but if I had to choose a favorite psalm, I would say Psalm 136 is my favorite. And the reason for that is I learn by repetition. I don't just learn things by hearing them or seeing them one time. I learn by repetition. And 26 times, the psalmist here says, His mercy forever. Now, the word endureth, I read that word endureth as we read the psalm to open the service. I think it sounds good to read it. His mercy endureth forever. But that word endureth, you'll notice, is in italics. It's been added by the translators. What the psalmist actually penned was this: His mercy forever. And I like it that way. It probably does a better job of telling us that God's mercy is eternal both ways. God's mercy endures forever because it is eternal. It doesn't have any beginning. It doesn't have any ending. We've got to be careful not to think this, that God's mercy starts with me and then it endures on out through eternity. No, that's not it. God's mercy is eternal. God's mercy was here on the scene a whole long time before we ever arrived. And God's mercy is going to be here a whole long time after we're gone. And throughout eternity, God's mercy is going to be the theme of our song. His mercy forever. Charles Spurgeon says this phrase, His mercy forever, is repeated at the end of every verse, but it's not repeated once too often. It's just right. And I like this psalm, like I said. Maybe if I read this psalm often enough, I'll finally get it through my thick skull. God's mercy is eternal. So even a wretched, vile sinner like me, who sins and fails so often, could find rest relying on God's mercy. It's eternal. And I'm thankful that God's mercy endures forever because I need His mercy. I need it every second of every day. If sinners like you and me would be saved, we must have mercy. And it's got to be mercy that was here before we ever arrived. You know, none of us could ever do anything to deserve God's mercy once we got here. No, we needed God to determine, to have mercy on us in eternity past, before we were ever born. And we need mercy from God that will never end. That's the kind of mercy that saves guilty sinners, eternal mercy. And I want to give you 7 points about God and His eternal mercy from this psalm. And the first one is this. God's eternal mercy is good, because God is good. Verse 1 says, Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He's good, for His mercy forever. Now, God is good. He is essentially good. And when we say that God is essentially good, what we mean is this, that God's character is nothing but good. There's nothing but goodness in God. God is goodness itself, so God can only do good. He can't do anything bad. So that means that something is good just because God does it. It's, you know, God doesn't do it because it's good. It is good because God does it. And we need to remember that. That's true even when we don't understand what God's doing. Now, it is something that sometimes we think we understand what God's doing. But even when we know we don't understand what God's doing, or it causes us sorrow, it causes us pain, and we're perplexed, remember this, it's still good. Because God did it. Because God is good and He can't do anything bad. Everything God does is good and everything God does is glorious. And God's greatest glory, His greatest goodness is mercy to undeserving sinners. God chose to be merciful to His people before time began, before creation. And all during the time of creation, man's time on earth, all during our time on earth, God's mercy endures. God's mercy is here, ruling and reigning. You know the very reason God created man on earth? The reason God did that is to show His eternal mercy to His people. And the reason Christ came to earth as a man, He came incarnate, He came to redeem His people. You know why He came to redeem His people? That's God showing His mercy to His people. His mercy that endures. And the reason the Holy Spirit comes and reveals Christ to His people and in His people. You know why that is? That's God being good. It's Him showing mercy to His people. God's mercy is good. God's mercy to His people depends upon God's goodness. Not upon our goodness, the goodness of sinful man. But it depends upon God's goodness. So in every situation, in every dealing God has with His people, God is being merciful to them. In every dealing. Whether we think it's painful, whether we think we call it a blessing, whether we call it a trial, in every dealing with His people, God is being merciful to His people. Because God's mercy is eternal. Now you may go through, and I have here my notes, you will go through many dark nights, many deep waters. You're going to cry many tears. We're going to go through many dangers, toils, and snares. But in all of those difficulties, God is merciful. God is being merciful to His people. He's being merciful to our souls. Even when God kills this body of sin, God is being merciful. As we've had a few weeks we couldn't meet because of this ice storm and things. And when I was very first preparing this message, I got a call from Kevin Thacker that the Lord had come and taken his mother home. Kevin is sad. But that's God being merciful. That's God being merciful. Reaching down, taking one of His children out of this body of sin, out of this world of sin, and taking her to be with Him in perfection. To a place where there'll be no more tears, no more sorrows, no more deep waters, and no more dark nights. You know why God did that? You know why God does that for all of His people? Because His mercy forever. Because God is good. He's good. All right, number two. God's eternal mercy is sovereign mercy. Because God is sovereign. Verse 2 says, "Oh, give thanks unto the God of gods for His mercy forever." Oh, give thanks to the Lord of Lords for His mercy forever. Now God, the Lord Jehovah, He rules over everything and everyone in His creation. He's God of gods. And because He's sovereign, doing as He will, doing as He pleases, He gives mercy to whom He will. No power of man, no power of nature, no imagined power of an imagined idol can ever stop God's purpose of mercy for His people. Our God is the God of gods. He's the God over all the idols. He's Lord of lords. He's the Lord over all human power. And I tell you what that means. It means this. If Almighty God determined to have mercy on your sorry soul before time began, nothing that happens in time can cause your soul to perish. Because God's mercy forever. God's mercy is ruling over all. And I know that so because God sovereignly rules over everything in His creation for this purpose. To ensure mercy for His people. To ensure the salvation of His people. Now God is sovereign. And I know men don't like that. Men don't like to have somebody sovereign. Americans especially don't want anybody, you know, to be sovereign. We want checks and balances and everybody's power. Don't tell me what to do. Don't tread on me. That's just in our DNA, isn't it? But now God's sovereign. Let's not get our back up like that. Let's not get our back up. God's sovereign. The Lord reigns and the earth rejoices. But I'll tell you why we get upset about hearing about God being sovereign, doing as he will, showing mercy to whom he will, passing by whom he will. It's because men misuse power, don't they? Men, if they get any power, they use it for their own advantage, and it doesn't matter who it hurts. They're going to do what's good for them. And just, they don't care about anybody else. But now, not our God. Our God's sovereign. He has all power. Nobody can stop or even momentarily delay his will. Nobody even has the right to question, ask him, what are you doing? And God uses his unstoppable, unopposable power to display mercy for his people. Not to destroy them, not to arbitrarily hurt them, but to save them, to show mercy to them. Instead of destroying them, you know what God did? He destroyed his son as a substitute for his people, so that his people could live. He punished his son fully for the sin of his people, that he could then take his people and be merciful to them, because his son put their sin away. See, God uses his power, his sovereign, unstoppable power, to save, to keep, to call, and to ultimately glorify his people, to do them good, to do them good. And not one of them will ever be lost. Brady just sung, nobody can pluck him from his hand. Why? Because God's sovereign mercy forever. His eternal mercy is sovereign mercy. Number three, God's eternal mercy is powerful mercy. Because it comes from God the Creator. Verse 4. To him alone who doeth great wonders, for his mercy endureth forever. To him that by wisdom made the heavens, for his mercy forever. To him that stretched out the earth above the waters, for his mercy forever. To him that made great lights, for his mercy forever. The sun to rule by day, for his mercy forever. The moon and stars to rule by night, for his mercy forever. Now our God is the Creator. Scripture identifies God as the one who created everything that exists. And that's what our God has done. He created everything that exists simply by the word of his power. I mean, you think when there was nothing but blackness and darkness, there was nothing but God, God spoke and everything appeared. I mean, creation wasn't even hard for God. He just spoke and it all appeared. Now, that's power to speak. And it's so. You know, God stretched out the heavens easier then we close the curtains or open the curtain. Oh, close them at night and open them in the morning. God, he created the heavens and earth easier than that. We have to reach up, move the curtains. God just spoke and it appeared. I mean, that's power. And Paul tells us that God uses that same power to speak and to give life in the hearts of his people, to create life in the hearts of his people. And God does that because his mercy forever. It's powerful, powerful, life-giving mercy. God's people must have life because God's mercy forever. That's the power of his mercy. And I love to think about, you can't see the gospel and you can't see all that there is to know about God in creation like you can in scripture, like you can in the gospel. But I still like to consider God by looking at creation, don't you? You who know him, you can look in creation and see some glorious things about our God. You can see something about his greatness and the wonder of his power and his wisdom. Everything works together to keep this earth full, to keep it full of air and food and water. The sun shines to give the earth light and life. Then the sun goes to the other side of the earth to give the earth rest, give it some darkness and time to rest. God's created animals that only move around in the daytime. And then he's created other animals that only move around at nighttime. God created light and dark for them both. The sun to rule by day, the moon to rule by night. There's never a time the earth was outruled, is it? The sun to rule by day, the moon to rule by night. That's the wisdom of God. There's things going on in the biology of all that I could never understand. I told you I learned by repetition. One thing I could never, ever, ever learn was biology. There's stuff going on that's so far above me. because of the wisdom and power of God in creation. And God uses that same power, that same wisdom, to save His people in justice. You think creation is glorious? It pales in comparison to God's wisdom and the salvation of His people. God uses wisdom and power to bring a clean thing out of an unclean. Job said, who can do that? Who can bring a clean thing out of unclean? God uses wisdom to do that, to make a sinful man or woman, born of woman, to be righteous through the obedience of another, through the sacrifice of another. I'm telling you, that's wisdom, isn't it? That's power and that's wisdom. And God does that for His sinful people. You know why? His mercy forever. God created the heavens and the earth so that He could display the glory of His eternal mercy to His people. God overrules every event in creation. Throughout all of time, God has arranged all of those events for the sole purpose of displaying His glory and showing mercy to His people through the obedience and through the sacrifice of His Son. That's God's purpose. And God won't fail to do it because He's sovereign. Because His mercy forever. This earth has changed a lot 6,000 years, hasn't it? You know one thing that hadn't changed? His mercy forever. His ruling, overruling all of it. And God shows mercy to His people in time. God, before He created anything, He determined to save a people. He chose a people that He's going to save. And in time, sure enough, God calls them out. He sends the gospel to them. He gives them faith to believe it. He calls them out. He shows them mercy in time because God's mercy forever. His mercy is eternal. God determined in before time began to show mercy to His people. And brother, He's not going to fail now. He's not going to fail now. He's going to save His people from their sin because God's mercy. Right. Fourthly, God's eternal mercy is redeeming mercy. Verse 10. To Him that smote Egypt in their firstborn, for His mercy forever, and brought out Israel from among them, for His mercy forever, with a strong hand and with a stretched out arm, for His mercy forever. To Him which divided the Red Sea into parts, for His mercy forever. And made Israel to pass through the midst of it, for His mercy forever. But overthrew Pharaoh and his host in the Red Sea, for His mercy forever. Now this is a picture of God's greatest display of His glory. God, and this is what God says, the greatest display of His glory. I'll have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I'll pass by whom I will pass by. Now this is just a thunderclap. This is something to get our attention in the middle of this beautiful description of God's mercy to His people. There's a thunderclap here. God does pour out His mercy upon His people. I mean, it's without end. You never find the bottom of it. His mercy is eternal. He pours that mercy out upon His people. But don't forget the flip side of the coin. Justice. Justice must be satisfied. He pours out justice, eternal justice, on rebels. And both are good and right because God did it. Now, everybody here in this congregation already knows that everything that happened to Israel when they left bondage in Egypt, all of that put together is a picture of the redemption that spiritual Israel has in our Lord Jesus Christ. We won't go through all of it. But you see how this happened here. Redemption happens through the death of Christ, the sinner substitute. With all the plagues in Israel, what was the night Israel went free? The night of the Passover. When the substitute died, that's the night Israel was delivered. And what happens to spiritual Israel? When is it that they go free? When is it they go free from bondage of sin and death and self? When is it they go free? When they see the substitutes die, when the blood has been applied, they go free through the death of Christ our substitute. Now that night of the very first Passover, the firstborn who was in the home that had blood on the doorpost, He lived. You know why that firstborn lived? Justice already been satisfied in that home. There's already been death in that home. That's what the blood signified. There's already been death of the substitute in this home. Well, that's God's elect. God's elect people live. They experience God's mercy because Christ, our Passover, has been sacrificed for us as our substitute. There's already been death in the case of God's elect. Christ died as a substitute. It never ceases to amaze me that God's sinful people go free. They experience mercy because God's own Son suffered as our substitute. Now that's mercy. That's mercy, isn't it? But you know, there were other homes in Egypt that night, weren't there? Every firstborn who was in a house that was not under the blood, that firstborn died. I mean, surely and swiftly, that firstborn died when the Lord passed through. Just like everyone not under the blood of Christ, they're going to be damned in justice. They'll receive exactly what they deserve because that's what their sin deserves. You see, redemption is not a matter of pure mercy. Now, it's pure mercy in the sense that we don't do anything to deserve it. But when God saves a sinner, justice must be satisfied. God's salvation is a matter of justice satisfied and mercy displayed. When God saves a sinner, He magnifies and satisfies both His justice and His mercy at the same time. God saves His people in justice because justice was satisfied. God's wrath was satisfied when God poured out His wrath and punished our substitute with death for our sin. Christ died as the substitute for His people because God's mercy forever. Christ died as a substitute for His people that God would be merciful to His people. And Israel left Egypt just like God said they would. They left Egypt that night. They left through the Red Sea. That's a picture of redemption in the blood of Christ. Spiritual Israel goes free. Free from sin. Free from the law. Free from death. Free from Satan. Free from every enemy. Through the blood of Christ. Because God's mercy forever. But don't forget the flip side. There's justice too. A bunch of people went through the Red Sea, went down to the Red Sea that day, didn't there? Israel went through, and every one of them came out the other side. Them, their children, all their animals, all their possessions went through the other side. Pharaoh and his host went down the Red Sea too, didn't they? And they drowned in the midst of it in justice against their sin. You see, God's mercy forever. And God's justice forever too. God saves His people in mercy and truth. And the whole reason that Christ came to suffer and die for His people as their substitute is the mercy of God. That God might be merciful to sinful men and women like us. And you write this down. You remember this. This is the sacrifice of Christ was not a failure. He purchased everything He intended to purchase with that sacrifice. Just like God delivering Israel from Egypt, He brought out all Israel from Egypt with a stretched out arm. Nobody can mistake that Israel did not deliver themselves by their own power, their own might, their own wisdom, did He? No. God delivered them with a stretched out arm. And He delivered them all. They didn't leave a shoelace behind. Nothing. He brought them all out. In the very same way, boy, it looks bad at times. I mean, Jen, we must be getting old. I don't remember doing this when we were young. We sit around talking about this world has just gone downhill. I mean, it's gone down. We sit there, what is happening? What world have we left for our children, our grandchildren, these little ones? What in the world have we? And we ought not excuse the way the world has gone. But now you listen to me. Everything going on in this world is not going to change one iota God's purpose of redemption for His people. It probably is going to get worse and worse and worse. Men are going to wax worse and worse and worse. But you remember this. Almighty God is going to bring all of His elect out of it. He's going to bring them out of this world. He's going to bring them out of sin. He's going to bring them out of self, which is a much worse thing than bring them out of the world. If God can bring them out of self, surely He can bring them out of the world. He's going to bring them all out, and He's going to set every last one of them free through the blood of His Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. All of them are going to go free, and all of them are going to be brought to glory. All of them are going to be made just like Christ. All that's going to happen. God's going to bring all of that to pass. You know why? Because God's mercy forever. Then fifthly, God's eternal mercy is guiding, leading mercy from Christ our shepherd. God doesn't save us in mercy and set us down and say, okay, run along now and trust us to get there on our own. God's eternal mercy is guiding mercy from Christ our shepherd. Verse 16. To Him which led His people through the wilderness for His mercy forever. To Him which smote great kings for His mercy forever. And slew famous kings for His mercy forever. Sihon, king of the Amorites, for His mercy forever. And Og, the king of Bashan, for His mercy forever. Now Israel went free from Egypt. But it wasn't a straight, easy shot to the promised land, was it? No, not at all. It was very difficult. They wandered in the wilderness of sin a long time. 40 years is a long time. But the Lord led them through that land. That land was filled with enemies. That land had absolutely no visible means of support. There wasn't food or water in that land. Yet God brought them through that land. He supplied their need every step of the way, and He brought them to the land that He promised to give them. And when they got there, He reminded them, the shepherd has led you and supplied you and led you all the way and brought you to exactly the right place. To exactly the right place along those banks of Jordan. The shepherd led them all the way there. Now that's not just a feel-good story. That is a picture of the believer's life here below. God's people have gone out in freedom. They've been redeemed from their sin. They have a redemption that Christ purchased for us with His sacrifice. They're redeemed. They're saved. They're justified. Eternally. Nothing can mar it. But I have yet to meet or read about one believer that had an easy life, an easy shot from here to there. Not one. Have you? Not a single one. I say this to a new believer. You know, every single message I preach, I try to tell you, you come to Christ. You look to Him, you come to Christ, you close with Christ, you believe Him. But I also say this to a new believer. Brother, now your troubles have begun. Now your troubles have begun. Your troubles from without, from sin within the world, now it's begun. You didn't fight it before, now you're gonna. And worse yet, now your troubles from within are going to start. Your battle with sin from within is going to start. You used to only have one nature. You didn't have somebody fighting against it. Now you got two men, and they're going to war to the day you die, to the day your flesh dies. Now your troubles with sin within have begun. And throughout our journey here below, we have no visible means of support. We have no visible means to be able to defeat all of our spiritual enemies. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood here. We're wrestling with spiritual wickedness in high places. This is spiritual battles. We have absolutely no visible means of fighting all these spiritual battles that we're going to face. But this I can tell you. The Lord will. He will, without a doubt, lead all of His people safely through all of those battles and will lead all of them safely to glory. They're all going to arrive there at exactly the right place at exactly the right time because the shepherd's going to bring them. The shepherd's going to lead them and He's going to bring them. Christ is the great shepherd of the sheep. He gave His life to redeem them. He's not about to let one of them go. He's going to lead all of them all the way to glory. And you know why? You know why He's not going to let one of them go? You know why He's never going to think, ugh, that one's just too much trouble. That one's just wandered too far off. He's wandered off too many times. I'm just going to let him go. You know why our shepherd's never one time going to say that? He's got a number of sheep no man can number, and he's never going to say one of them has wandered off too many times or wandered off too far. You know why? Because his mercy forever. His shepherding, leading, guiding, providing mercy forever. And if you and I are going to arrive in glory, safely from this world to the next, we're going to have to be led, aren't we? We're going to have to be led by the hand. We're going to be carried. We're going to have to be led. We're going to have to be provided for. And it's going to have to be in mercy. You know, in the wilderness, that time of Israel spent in the wilderness. Now, I'm telling you, that's a good picture of the believer's life in this world. In that wilderness, the children of Israel failed every single test of faith that God sent them. I mean, God just delivered them miraculously one day, and the very next day, they failed a test again, didn't they? But the Lord, our shepherd, never one time failed them. They failed every time. And the shepherd never failed them once because his mercy forever. And the same thing is true about you and me. In this wilderness here below, you and I will fail every test of faith God ever sends us. We'll fail every last one of them. We'll fail Him so many times. Our faith will fail. We'll fail Him and our witness to Him and our love and dependence upon Him. We'll think, well, this time after all the Lord has delivered us from, we're going to run into a hangnail and think, well, the Lord left me now. We'll fail Him every day. We won't trust Him. But the Lord our shepherd will never one time fail us. He's going to bring every one of His people safely to glory. Not because we deserve it, but because His mercy forever. And it won't be easy. There's going to be many, many mighty, strong, gigantic problems along the way. And that's what's pictured in these verses. Sihon says here that the Lord slew famous king Sihon, king of the Amorites. Sihon was a mighty warrior king. He defeated every enemy he ever faced. He never, ever lost one battle. Not one. Except Israel. Except Israel. This mighty warrior king went and attacked Israel. Israel had no army. They had no military training. They spent their life as slaves. They knew about making bricks and slime. That's what they knew about. And this mighty warrior king attacked them, and Israel wiped him out. You know why? The Lord was with them. His mercy forever. He's not going to let this enemy destroy them. The Lord was with His people. And this is sin. Sin is a mighty, mighty warrior who has defeated every enemy it's ever come in contact with. Except for God's elect. Because Christ our Savior put away the sin of His people. He suffered and He died for the sin of His people. Now He died, but sin didn't defeat Him. He rose again, didn't He? Because His blood put that sin away. He shed His blood to pay for, to put away, to cleanse all of the sin of all of His people. And that sin's gone. It'll never harm any of God's people. Never harm their souls. You know why? Because God's mercy forever. It's not because God's people are not going to be, they're not going to be victorious because they're going to quit sinning. No, they're going to be victorious because God's mercy forever. Christ has put their sin away. And Og, he was the king of a race of giants. Israel, just a bunch of little old folks, I'm sure physically they probably weren't very big. They didn't have very good nutrition, when they were slaves. They're just a bunch of little old folks, And they come across this race of giants, coming and attacking them. It's like a bunch of Goliaths attacking them. And God crushed that giant like you step on an ant. Just crushed them. You know why? God's mercy forever. And all of our problems, whether we realize it or not, all of our problems are giants to us. Can you think of one problem you can handle by yourself? All of our problems are giants to us. Our problems are going to cause us a lot of pain, a lot of worry, a lot of sleepless nights. But you mark this down. Our God is going to defeat every last one of them. He'll not allow one of those problems from stopping His people from coming into God's presence, accepted and perfect, clothed in the righteousness of Christ. You know why I know that's true? Because God's mercy forever. Now, I'm not saying our problems are small and insignificant. You don't need to worry about them. No, our problems are going to be giants. But take comfort in this. God's mercy is bigger. God's mercy is older. God's mercy is stronger. God's mercy was around before our giant problems existed, and God's mercy will be around a long time after God's crushed all of our giant problems. Now, our shepherd is going to protect the souls of his people, and he's going to deliver us from every last one of those giants, because God's mercy forever. Right, here's the sixth thing. God's eternal mercy is covenant mercy from our covenant God. Verse 21. And gave their land for an heritage, for his mercy forever. Even an heritage unto Israel, his servant, for his mercy forever. Now, when Israel finally arrived at that Jordan River, and they were going to cross the river, and they were going to take the land. But the people who lived there, now they are well defended. They had big cities, big walled cities. They are well defended. They had homes and farms. They've been there for generations. They were not about to give their family farm up. But Israel defeated every last one of them and took the land, often without ever firing a shot. You know why that is? Because God's mercy forever. Because of God's covenant mercy. See, way back there, God took Abraham out one day and he told Abraham, see the stars in the sky? So shall your seed be. Abraham said, I don't have an heir. This Eliezer, you know, he's going to have to be my heir. God said, no, you'll have a son. And your seed will be as the stars of the sky. And Abram, this land you're staying on, I'm going to give it to him. Your descendants are going to own this land. Well, eventually, God gave them the land that he promised Abraham they'd have. God gave it to them because God promised he would. That's what covenant mercies are. They're promised mercies. And God's mercy to his people is covenant mercy. It's mercy that Almighty God promised to give his people before time began. And God will perform that mercy to every last one of his people. He'll save those people in mercy because God always keeps his promise. Always. And I don't care how dark the night. It's dark, 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 dark. Oh, it's dark. I don't care how strong the enemy. I don't care how weak and shameful our faith, God will perform saving, calling, keeping, redeeming, glorifying mercy to his people. The night may be long and it may be dark, but God's going to bring you through it. You know how I know that? Because his mercy forever. And you just hang on to that. You just hang on to that. For all you're worth, Brother Fortner used to say, you take as far as you want. You can't take it too far. Because God's mercy forever. God's covenant mercy, God's promise shall not fail. All right, here's the last thing. God's eternal mercy is personal mercy for God's people. Verse 23. Who remembered us in our low estate for his mercy forever. And hath redeemed us from our enemies for his mercy forever. Who give the food to all flesh for his mercy forever. Now God's mercy to his elect people is amazing. It's awe-inspiring. And it's true. It's true. It's just utterly amazing that God would choose to be merciful to such a sinful people, to a number that no man can number. Just so many people you could never count them all. God chose those people. And he determined to have mercy on those people. And that's just amazing, isn't it? It's amazing God saved all those people by the obedience and the sacrifice of one. And I'm thankful for it. I preach that. I believe that. I'm thankful for it. But I don't think it's wrong of me to say this. That personal mercies are the sweetest. That's why all of us pray like the thief on the cross. Lord, remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. And personal mercies are the mercies that cause us the most awe and wonder. Somehow, in my mind, I think I can understand God choosing a people to save. What I can't get over is that God would be merciful to me. That's what I can't get over. Of all the sons of Adam, me? God would forgive a sinner like me? The Son of God would come in the flesh and die for a sinner like me? That cannot be. How can that be so? Because God's mercy forever. See, when we start wondering, how could that be so? Could God save me? Would He be merciful to me? I don't think He will. The reason we think that is because we're looking in the wrong place. I'm looking at me. You want to tell you the hope that a sinner has? Why would God forgive you? Why would God choose you? Why would God save you? Why would God send His Son to die for you? Because God's mercy forever. The reason for salvation is always found in God and never found in us. And the writer here says, who remembered us in our low estate. You just think how low God had to reach to save sinners like us. I mean, He had to reach to the bottom of the barrel, didn't He? How low is our estate? It's bankrupt. It's ruined. It's gone. It's non-existent. If God's mercy would have changed toward anyone, it would have changed toward me in my low estate, in my shameful, sorry, low estate of sin and death. But God's purpose didn't change because God's mercy forever. It cannot change. Only God can be merciful to such a stinking, rotten, dead, defiled, rebellious sinner like I am, because only God has mercy that's eternal. And the psalmist here says God gives food to all flesh. God gives life to all of the earth. Now, how is that personal mercy? I don't see how that's personal mercy. Let me show you. God gives life to all of the earth so that there is an earth for you who believe to enjoy. God's blessed this whole entire earth so that you who believe have an earth to live in and to enjoy. That's exactly right. God gives life to the earth. He even materially blesses heathen sinners He never intends to save. You know why? Because God's determined to have mercy on their children or their grandchildren or their great-grandchildren. Or God blesses them and gives them life, physically speaking, so that they can serve God's people by giving them a job or paying higher taxes that help you, you know, get roads and things. It's just, God does that for His people. God keeps giving life to the earth. He keeps sustaining this earth for this reason, for His elect people, because God's mercy forever. God has a purpose of mercy for those who, right as of yet, haven't even been born. And God's keeping this earth spinning for their sake. Personally for them, because His mercy forever. So in conclusion, this is the only thing we can say, verse 26. Oh, give thanks unto the God of heaven for His mercy forever. Oh, give thanks to the God of heaven who continually showers down mercy upon His people. And He does it continually because His mercy forever. And I pray God give us a heart that would thank the God of heaven that He'd show mercy to sinful men and women like us. And I pray that God bless this message to your heart so you can remember His mercy forever. And not just so you can remember it, not just so you remember it, but that you rest in it, that you rest in God who has eternal mercy reserved for His people. All right, let's bow together. Our Father, how we thank You for this time You've given us together. And oh, I pray You'd send Your Spirit to our hearts and cause us to rest in our God whose mercy forever. How we thank You for Your eternal mercy. That salvation is not something that we have to earn or deserve or keep, but it's all because of Your mercy, from beginning to end, because of Your mercy. Father, we thank You. And as You promised eternal mercy to your people. Father, I pray that as we leave here tonight, we go back home, we prepare to go back out into the world to our various responsibilities tomorrow, that you send your mercy before us. Oh, Father, be merciful. Would you be pleased to bless your word tonight, to call out one of your sheep, to reveal yourself in them, powerful, life-giving mercy to your sheep. Father, would you be pleased to send your word forth tonight, to reach the heart of one of your sick and sorrowing, one of your dear children who feels so crushed by trial and sorrow and heartache, doubt and worry and fear, to comfort their heart. Comfort their heart with this glorious truth, God's mercy forever. Father, bless us, we pray. Bless us for Christ's sake. All these things we ask and give you thanks. In that name which is above every name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, you're dismissed.